You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, this episode of Off Book is presented to you by The Hot Wing King, now playing at the Signature Theater, the Griffin space at the Signature Theater. If you've ever been there, it's amazing. Their lobby space, perfecto. And before the show, this time they're going to have a hot wing competition, so you'll want to be there to see The Hot Wing King and have a couple hot wings. This Friday, February 14th, we're going to have our own special event hosted by Ryan Jamal Swain to see The Hot Wing King by Katori Hall, directed by Stephen H. Broadnecks III, and you don't want to miss it. Show starts at 7:30. Tickets are on the Signature website. Use code BWYBLK and make sure you be there. What's going on, everybody? It's a brand new episode of Off Book presented to you by Broadway Black. We're ready to hit our mark, and we're going to do it right now. I'm Drew Shade.
I'm York Walker.
I'm Ramaj.
And we're here in the studio, a new studio, y'all. Like, this is a new space, a new place.
It's very nice. It's fancy.
I mean, it is a little fancy, you know. It's like, it's different. It's different. We were in a totally separate space for the past year and a half, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
We have a whole new, like, we're no longer with the network we were with before.
Uh-huh.
We're more of an independent route sort of thing. I mean, we were always independent, but This is even more so independent than what we were before.
Did they have the Off Book on the screen like they do now?
We could have had but I think we were just lazy and we didn't do that. Like, we could have had that each week, but most of the time we just had the audio. Like, you could see the actual audio of us talking, like the waves and stuff.
Yeah. Mine just messing up the
and you can see how big the waves are when she's singing and blowing out the mic
because
the mic sounds nice, right? But yeah, so this is a new space. It's a new season for us. New season for Off Book. I'm really excited about what's happening. And I guess we should just update the audience on what's going on with us and what's going on with our lives.
Yes.
I would like to welcome York and Ramaj to the show. Like, is your first, both of y'all first time on the show?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know why. I thought y'all had
newbies.
Been here before.
Surgeons. No.
I called y'all asking y'all to come and do the show, and I think, like, oh, they've been here. They know how to do this.
No.
We've had so many people on the show. We've had new, fresh faces all the time on the show. So it's sometimes I'm like, who have we had? But I'm excited to have you two. Because
I'm excited, too.
Happy to be here.
I love both of the work that you both do, which is why I asked you to come. But it's just, it's good to see new faces and new artists that are really emerging and coming into the industry. And here in New York City, you know, we always talk about emerging artists, but sometimes they're in Chicago, sometimes they're in LA, but like, to watch them like grow and here in the city and see you guys emerge, you're just getting out of school, aren't you, Ramon?
Yeah, come on.
Not Freedom. The eye roll.
I mean,
what's that about?
No, it's just been like a long 3 years, man.
Come on.
A long 3 years, but it was worth it though.
How old are you?
I'm 26.
Lord
so
Jesus.
I'm really
young. So
young. Like, I'm working with like all my classmates and even like the grad acting class, like most of them are older than me. I was the youngest one.
So you studied costume design,
years.
I should say. I don't know if I said that. Tell the people who you are since they don't know who you are.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Ramaj.
Why he dropped down into, hey, what's going on? It's Ramaj.
Radio voice.
Yeah.
Come on, Quiet Storm.
So, I mean, I'm a person with like many titles, many, many hats. You know how people say, you know, jack of all trades, but master of none. I have my master's.
Come on.
Come on with it.
So I do costume design, scenery. I'm a visual artist. I'm also a costume illustrator. So, yeah, I do a few things in the industry. I do whatever, you know.
Whatever's necessary.
Yeah, basically.
Come on.
Yeah, that's what's up. Well, we welcome you, Ramaj.
Thank you.
You know, you country boy like me.
Mm-hmm.
So we connect in that way. He said, But yeah, you're a country boy like me, so we connect in that way. So that's why I really like your energy. We went out to an event that we'll talk about that later, too. But we went out to an event. You was real reserved that night, too,
I should say. I'm very reserved. I'm like low-key shy, but at the same time.
You are not shy. You be singing up a storm on IG.
Stop.
You do.
Like, what is that about? Like,
Stop.
You just gave a whole...
I just saw a video the other
right,
day.
Right, the full vibrato.
Yes.
Okay.
Where's that coming from?
I can sing and
so
be
you're
shy.
Not shy.
But I'm reserved, though.
It's selective.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Selective
see, if I'm in my room or I'm in the restroom, then I can, you know, let it all out.
You can
but
let it all out.
I'd be chilling when I'm in public, so...
Okay. Well, I'm not mad at it. Well, we welcome you. And we welcome you, York. Thank you so much for being here. Y'all, introduce yourself, York. York Walker. I can't even get it out. York Walker.
Yes.
That's such an interesting name.
Listen.
I keep wanting to say Yoke, but it's York.
York. Yeah, it was my grandfather's name.
Okay. Come on, grandfather. Now you can't make fun of it. Now he just said it's his grandfather's name.
Well, I mean, listen.
You can't say nothing about it.
It's technically my middle name. But okay. I started going by York after college because I was like, I'm going to be an actor. Alan Walker is not as sexy as York Walker. So I was like, let me just.
It is not.
No.
I will give that to you.
It's very plain.
I think you have been going by Alan Walker and nobody was paying attention.
No,
but
no.
Once that York popped up.
Listen, it calls attention.
I'm telling you.
So yeah.
That was smart.
Yeah. It was a good choice.
How old are you, York? You telling your age on here? Or you don't want to?
It's fine. I am 32 years young.
Come on. 32 years young?
My knees feel a lot older.
Yes.
You know, you can't quite, you know, you can't drop it down.
Sorry
the same
to those
way.
Knees.
Listen, it's rough.
I don't know that life. I'm 25. I've been 25, you know.
Okay, so we're making choices.
I'm like, hold on.
Wait a minute. I am 25 years old.
Oh, alternative
Thank
facts.
You so much.
Great. Yeah, I am a writer primarily now. Started off as an actor. Have my master's degree too, from ACT.
Come on.
And I kind of bounced all around. I moved here. I went to undergrad, Illinois State. I'm from south suburbs of Chicago. But for all the Chicago people, that's going to drag me for saying I'm from Chicago. I'm from the south suburbs. And then I went to Illinois State.
Because you know they'll get you, what, you from Juliet or something?
I'm from South Holland.
Okay.
Which is like next to Calumet City. And, you know, all of them. First of all,
you know, it's going to get you.
I knew. That's why I just prepped Chicagoland area there. Went to Illinois State, did acting there. Went to Actors Theater of Louisville and did like the apprenticeship there. Then I moved here for a year. And then I realized that if I was going to do this, I needed to get more training. So I went to grad school, ACT, San Francisco for 3 years. Moved back to New York for 2 years, moved to LA for 2 years, and just got back in May. So I'm tired of moving.
I bet you are.
But yeah, so I'm here.
Well, good, writing. Brother. Well, we welcome.
Thank
we welcome you.
You
both. And York, I went to see your reading at the Fire This Time Festival.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that. You had some hitters in your play.
Listen.
So come on,
blessed.
Let's name them.
I don't want to forget. Crystal Dickinson.
Crystal Dickinson. If you don't know Crystal Dickinson, she was Clybourne Park.
The original
on
cast
Broadway. Yeah, she
Park.
Is married to Brandon Durden.
Brandon Durden. Yes, they have a beautiful child.
Beautiful child. Beautiful family. All of them are actors. You know, mm-hmm. Brandon Durden and his brothers with Jason Durden, and
mm-hmm.
Just that whole family just have some acting chops. So
listen.
If you've never seen her do anything, you need to.
Yes.
So I and let me tell you, I was not coming, but I saw her face right there. I saw her face. I said, oh, OK,
Okay, well, you know, if he got Crystal in there, she must have read the play and listen, really, you know, felt that. So let me go on and see what she working on, because yes, she delivers. She
does. Listen, and I am always embarrassed to ask her. Like, I'm like, Crystal, can you come do? And she's like, yeah, baby.
She's so gracious.
She's so sweet. So her and Jasmine Batchelor, who played the lead.
Yes.
So Jasmine and Crystal and I all did Raisin in the Sun together at Two River Theater a couple years ago. I think maybe 3 years ago now. So that's
who
where we
you?
All met.
Who was you? Asagai or something?
I was George.
George Murchison, of course. Yeah.
Played George twice. Yeah. I don't know. And there's something about gay black men that lends itself well to George. Mm. Have you noticed that a lot of people that play George...
Because George has to be soft. He's a little bit softer than... the Asagai, then the Walter Lee. True.
Yes, definitely.
You know, he has to have a little bit of a...
Well, he's a bit sassy.
Yeah, he got a little bit of a... I wouldn't go say that. I just said soft, because, you know, like, sassy's like...
He's like kind of snooty, like, with his nose up.
A little uppity. Yes. He's a little uppity.
He's very uppity.
He is a... Yeah.
But I was like, all of my friends that played George are gay. What is that? Then? Anyway, just a fun fact. who else do we have? Mandy Masden. Who's incredible.
Oh, I love Mandy. Mandy, yes, that's another one, too, I saw on there. Mandy is so... Oh, I just like... If you don't know Mandy Masden, she was actually in The Raising the Sun at Williamstown.
Mm-hmm.
She was also in The Light at MCC, mm-hmm. which we really pubbed that hard. You know, Loy is my girl.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that Mandy does, I am there for as well. So
yeah, she's incredible.
And then Alana...
Incredible. From now,
What to Send Up When It Goes
when
Down.
When It Goes Down.
But I saw her in, they did that workshop production. Like, you know, the public does those
mm-hmm.
little workshop productions. It was like a staged workshop of Erica Dickerson Dispenza's play about mm-hmm. Flint.
Oh, okay.
Don't give me the line. What is the name of the play?
Colored
Water. Colored Water. Yes. Oh, okay. Colored Water. You gotta, because it's spelled a certain way, so you gotta make sure you say colored water.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, I think that's coming this summer.
Yeah, they've picked it up. The public picked it up. So it was phenomenal. Wow. And I hope that Alana goes with it, because she did that thing.
Listen, I saw her in What to Send Up,
which is also coming back.
It's coming back, yes. Hopefully they're all with it. I don't know why they wouldn't be.
I don't know why they wouldn't either, but I'm just glad that this keeps getting life in multiple places.
It is so good.
And multiple places in the city here.
It rocked me. And I saw her, like, you know how
and
you
it's
see...
for us.
Yes, absolutely. But you know how you see shows and, like, as a writer, I go and see things and I'm like, that one, that actor right there. Yep. Mm-hmm. I got to figure out what can I do? What can I write? Where can I bring it?
Mm-hmm.
So she was one of those people. And then also Leland Fowler.
Leland Fowler.
Was in Danye's play. And yes. I saw him in that and was like, that one.
That one.
How can I?
How can I work with him? Yeah.
I just got lucky. So
yes. Yeah. Danye's play 1 and 2. If you didn't see that, that happened this December.
Mm-hmm.
So December, good. January. Yes. Amazing.
So good.
Amazing piece. And I'm so proud of Danye.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Danye and Amber are off working.
Come on.
So they're not here joining us today.
Booked and blessed.
And so I should just tell y'all now, things are changing over here off book.
Come on.
Because people are working. And so, you know, I'll have an announcement about me working in the next couple of
weeks.
Come
on. Come on.
And I'll be able to talk about that. But, you know, things are changing here off book. So just bear with us while we figure some things out. But just know that, y'all, we heard y'all loud and clear. We're here. We're back. Like, I'm here. Broadway Black is here. Off book is here. We're back and we're ready to have some fun.
Come
on. Ready
to
hit our mark.
Come on.
And go off book. Do you hear me? So let's get into these hot... Well, I guess I should talk about myself, huh?
Yeah. How was your week? What are you up to?
My week. My past couple of months. I've really just been in a place... And I've talked about this all the time. A place of healing.
Come on.
A place of just reflection. Mm-hmm. And I can't even speak per usual. I canceled all of my social media platforms, my personal platforms, back in September.
Oh.
Just because I needed some space for myself. And mm-hmm. also, you know, social media can be an addiction.
Absolutely.
And even when I'm not working, it's like I am a slave to my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want that to be my life. I didn't want that to be my story. And so I was trying to figure out a way to carve out time for my work. But it was a point in time where I just needed to take a break from everything and not work. And so that's what I did. I concentrated more on myself these past couple of months and got Broadway Black and Off Book to a place where I could have fun creating them. Mm-hmm. And just took my time with it. You know, this has been just getting this particular studio space and getting things lined up so that we could have a show weekly, and having the funds to do that, having the money to do that, took a little bit of time to organize and figure out, and also just not letting it stress me out. I quit smoking over 6 weeks ago.
Come on.
So you'll see you'll hear a different clarity in my voice.
Congrats. And
operate. Thank you so much.
That's not easy.
It's not easy. It's still an everyday struggle, but I actually did kick the habit this time. Before, you know, I've kicked it maybe for like a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be like, oh, I'll have one. You know, it's fine. And I still tell people I quit. Oh, I've had, you know, I'm fine. I quit, you know, but I still have one or two. Uh-huh. But no, I don't have a desire any longer. It's I still get the effects of the withdrawal. Mm-hmm. But I really don't have a true desire to smoke anymore. Especially after I wake up in the mornings and I see all the mucus and the black tar coming out of my lungs and my mouth and stuff. So pray for me on that. Continue to lift me up in that. But Broadway Black, as you see, has had a resurgence in content.
Yeah.
That's all me, y'all.
Come on.
That listen, ain't nobody but me.
I don't think people like realize how much work it is to do all the things that you're doing just for Broadway Black alone. I'm just like,
they don't.
And I don't know where you sleep.
They don't understand it. And but this is the thing. I used to not sleep. Now I've had to carve time out to say, I am not working on this at these times. It's easier to say when I'm not working on it than when I am working on it, because I just will always work on it if I have the space and opportunity.
Yeah.
But like, I've had to carve out specifically times for myself. Like my morning routine is for me.
Yeah.
I don't grab my phone. I may grab it to put on music, to put on my gospel playlist or whatever music I'm feeling that morning to start my day. But I get up and I take my vitamins. I drink a glass of water.
Mm-hmm.
I get ready for the gym. I meditate. I oil pool.
Come on.
I brush my teeth, floss, go to the gym, stretch, you shower, do all of those things before I even pick up my phone to look at.
Yeah.
So that's about 2.5 hours of care time for me, which makes me wake up at like 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock, because that's just how my body is now functioning, and I'm trying to keep it there.
Mm-hmm.
So that took some time for me to develop those habits, and it started with me just drinking the glass of water and taking my vitamins.
Yeah. And being up that early, there's like a peace because nobody else is up.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to deal with people like texting you and things like that because nobody else is up.
Right. It's a beautiful, beautiful experience. And I live up in Riverdale. And so when I wake up, my living room has a view of the Hudson River. And so I can see the sunrise, and we're right by the water. And it's just this really, really a peaceful, serene place to be when I wake up in the morning. It just has helped my morning routine tremendously, because I'm looking forward to that view. I'm looking forward to that serene spirit and energy.
Yeah.
And so I've just carved that time out. I took the time to develop those healthy habits, and it took me a couple of weeks to do that.
Yeah.
And then also then I had to add Broadway Black on top of that. And so now I'm in the process of trying to figure out how to function with this new routine, because my schedule is never the same anymore.
Right.
It won't be the same because I attend events. I have to be up in the morning maybe to be in the city early.
Right.
So just all, it's a day-to-day thing. But if I implement the habits now, then I'll be able to sort of maneuver them later on without too much of a struggle. But I'm struggling right now a little bit, because moving those habits around, it's like, okay, I got used to it being this particular way.
Right.
But I want to keep those habits. So it's a struggle to try to figure out how to fit them in. Sometimes they get fit in the morning. Sometimes they might get fit in the afternoon. And I might have to come home later and finish them up. Mm-hmm. But because like tonight, I go to a dance class at Ailey on Mondays and Wednesdays. That's something I've been doing for myself, because I want to make sure that I, you know, get my posture together and the way that I present into the world, the way I walk into the space, to make sure that I'm filling up the space that I have, that I own. I own this space of my body. And so I want to make sure that I'm filling it up and using all of the space that my body allows me to use in, and not, you know, sinking into myself.
Right.
So I'm going to a dance class today, and like, I didn't work out as hard this morning because I knew I was going to go to this dance class, and I didn't want to overexert.
Listen.
Oh, you're trying to show out.
Well, I'm not trying to show. I want to be able to have the functioning of my body when I get to class. Like, I want to be able to, I don't want to be so hurt and sore that I can't really give my all to the class. And then maybe after class, I might go and lift a little bit more. But
what class? What kind of dance is it?
Today is Monday? This is a jazz class.
Come on.
This is jazz. Brian Harlan Brooks. If you don't know Brian Harlan Brooks, he's a choreographer. He's done Motown tour. He's worked on several different projects. I think he might be working on Aida right now.
Oh, nice.
But he teaches a class at Alvin Ailey. Aida's going on tour. You ain't know that?
Oh, I'm thinking about the opera right now.
Oh, okay. What? When we talk musicals over here, when we talk about shows, we never talking about the opera. When we talk about Morgan and Bess, we are talking about Audra McDonald. Everywhere. When we talking about Aida, we are talking about Heather Headley. Like, we are never talking about... I mean, no shade to my... No, I'm sorry, because the opera girl's going to come.
But what's her name is doing the opera... what's her name?
Yes. The
one who did For Color Girls and
what are y'all talking about?
The choreographer. What's her
Camille
name?
Brown?
Yeah, she's doing the opera, I believe.
She did choreograph Porgy and Bess.
There's also an opera.
She's doing Aida too. The opera.
No, she's doing Aida the musical.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, that's the musical.
I'm getting my shit mixed up.
There's also an opera of Intimate Apparel that's happening.
Right now?
Yeah.
At Lincoln Center, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an opera?
That's an opera.
I thought it was just a play. And I was wondering why this particular person that was casting it, I was wondering, like, is he an actor now? I thought he was just, I didn't know. Don't. Why are you laughing? Because I was really curious. Yeah. But like, congratulations for him. It's, like, you know what I mean? But yeah, like.
But it's an opera, apparently.
I am confusion.
Yes.
Have you heard anything
of it? I have not. I would like to see it. I would never think to make that an opera, but that don't mean that it's not amazing.
That don't mean it should be, right.
So I would love to go see it. I'm gonna see if I can get me some link ticks and $30.
I was already struggling with it as a play.
Well,
I mean, I like Intimate Apparel.
Yes.
But it is a little bit of a struggle.
It's been years since I've read it, but
it's slow, as a play. It's a slow play.
That's what I'm saying. It's a little bit of a struggle as a play itself.
Like with music, I mean, it
may pump it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But not.
Depends who's writing the
opera. Don't usually pump nothing up.
That's what I'm thinking.
I need to see more opera.
Excuse me. The opera aficionado here.
No, I'm not no aficionado. I'm just saying, like, there's different kinds of music that's, you know, in the opera world. So some of it is upbeat and very strong and suspenseful. So
listen,
it may make the play better.
I'm going to go see it.
Well, let me know about it.
I don't know if I got a chance.
I would love to see that. I need to see who's in it. Do you know who's in it?
Mm-hmm. No, I just know of one person. I don't even know who, but I couldn't tell you. I don't know, child. Don't get me the line. Anyway, let's move on. I guess we didn't sort of move on anyway to the hot topics. Moving on to the real hot topics we had listed today. We're going to start with the Academy Awards since they was last night.
Yes.
Cynthia Erivo, red carpet look was everything. She looked wonderful in her Versace atelier. Is that how you say it?
I think so.
I don't know.
How you don't know your costume?
I'm not a fashion person.
Atelier.
I don't keep up with fashion.
You don't?
That's a different sport.
Oh. I mean, I guess it's like, okay, I guess you could say that it's a different sport. I mean,
it's all clothes, but.
Right, you know.
Different sport.
Okay.
Got her.
Well, she looked great.
She did.
What's his name? Jason Bolden.
Jason Bolden.
I was about to say choreographed her look.
Choreographed the dress. Was hitting all the marks.
He styled her look. I can't. Because Jason Bolden styled her look and she looked phenomenal. I love that Cynthia always wears all this jewelry on her hands and like she makes sure she has acrylics on. Like,
yes.
I don't know how you get acrylics like, done and you in movies.
In a way.
Yeah, but she's always been that way though. Like, even for, I think for her, I think for her closing night performance, she had a lot of jewelry and she also had like authentic African garb. Mm-hmm. I think from her home country or homeland, and her mother was also dressed in the same. So like, I just always enjoy her energy around her fashion.
Yeah.
And what she brings to the table with it. Cause she, now sometimes they don't always land. I'm not always a look for, I'm not always, you know, mm-hmm. a fan of the looks that mm-hmm. she delivers and the extra hair pieces that she puts with the, yeah. the cotton. I don't know. What, why y'all laughing? Y'all can laugh. Y'all don't have to stifle your laughter. But I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about.
Like, I do.
She be adding, yeah. she be adding the extra cotton balls
I
at the
do.
Top.
I do.
And I'm not, I don't, okay. yeah. I don't subscribe to that.
Right. Got it.
But what I do subscribe to is her experimenting and having fun
That's
and
right.
feeling good about herself in the looks that she does mm-hmm. choose. And the Oscar Awards, the Academy Awards, that look that she did yesterday was phenomenal.
Yes. Did you like her performance look?
That gave me real Dolores Van Cartier, 20th anniversary of Sister Act.
Oh my God.
And I just could not.
You know, it gave me Nala in the.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Like, you know,
that
with the
corset.
Thing,
yeah.
The thing
yeah.
up in the back.
Yeah.
Shadowland.
Uncomfortable.
It did look real.
Like she came really like, her shoulders were stiff and then the shit was like crooked.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the idea was cute.
Yes.
The idea was cute, but the execution was something different.
I'm not sure. Like, cause on paper, I can see how that could be like, ooh.
But see, yeah. I did not even really pay much attention to her gown because she sounded incredible. Like,
she
her
did.
Vocal performance was absolutely flawless.
She sings the songs.
I mean, this song in particular, you know, since she wrote it and she performed it in the movie Harriet, Stand Up is a good song.
It is.
It's a good song. It's
it is.
It's moving. But can't nobody else sing it but Cynthia. Like,
true.
I don't think that there's anybody else that could really deliver this song. And she gave all of the beats.
Mm-hmm. She did.
In that number. And I was very pleasantly surprised and proud of her.
Yeah. I thought it was beautiful. The thing about it that was distracting to me was the
white
ensemble
choir,
yeah and yeah you know it was like Slave
but then we
Rash
got
Niche
right why didn't you just like
oh, yeah,
this
like
was the time
almost.
Like Cult Couture
yeah
I just it just and then like there's Asian and then there's
yeah,
white
yeah but that's what I was confused too by that's what I was confused by too is that this was the time to cue a black choir mm-hmm. like you know they love to cue black choir
right
like if any performance, any award show, there's always going to be a black choir. And you just go, cue black choir, and they come out, right?
Yeah,
and
like,
you just.
Who was that white woman? Then she turned around, and it was a black woman with blonde hair.
I just.
Was so confused.
But this was the opportunity to cue the black choir, and we would have been all for it because of what the song is about.
Right.
Like, they be adding black choirs to country songs. Trace Atkins come out, cue black choir.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, yeah. anything. What will make them cue a black choir? But this was the moment to cue the black choir, and they said, "Cue mixed choir."
Yeah, and then they did the thing they always do: is like bring up the house lights, and we
cue international choir mm-hmm.
clapping in the aisles, and it just
I didn't get no,
it just
no.
Didn't.
No.
And then they had the Harriet Tubman's lanterns around her. But when it started, they had all the duplicates of the lanterns. And I was like,
I didn't even pay attention to
the lanterns. Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Okay, because to me, Harriet
but why
Tubman.
Would you say Harriet's lantern?
No, because to me, Harriet Tubman, when I picture Harriet, I picture Harriet with a lantern out in front of her.
Oh, God.
And she's gotten away with the lantern. And then I was like, oh, they thought of that. They put it all around her. She had a little spotlight of Harriet Tubman lanterns. And then they brought her up in the back. At the end, did you see that? Harry was here.
Oh, you're talking about the picture of Harry.
That Harry was, yeah.
I must have been looking down, tweeting at that time or something.
No,
but
she showed up in the back.
Oh, God.
I
don't know. But Cynthia sounded great, so moving on.
This episode of Off Book is presented by The Hot Wing King at the Signature Theater. It's by Katori Hall. It's a brand new play. It's directed by Steve H. Broadnax III, and it's going to be playing in the Griffin Theater at the Signature. It's a beautiful space. The last thing I saw there was Our Lady of Cabejo, and Katori never disappoints. This Friday, we're going to have a special Valentine's Day event for Broadway Black at 7:30, so you want to get the tickets for
for that at the Signature Theater website. You do not want to miss it.
Janelle Monáe, opening number, whatever musical she created on that opening number, I want it. Like, it had all of... Now, what I love that it included, like, all a lot of the nominees of the Oscars for that night, but also they included movies that were not nominated, like black movies like Queen and Slim and Us, and just, like, stuff that they... blatantly snubbed.
Right.
So I get that Janelle Monáe probably was like, I want this and this and this in my performance. I want to honor these and this people. But like, it still just felt off-putting. Yeah. Like, don't have us in the opening number, like represent us in the opening number, but not in the nominations. Don't represent us in the presenting of the awards, but not the nominations. Don't represent us in the performances and not the nominations. Right. Like, you just trying to camouflage the issue. There are no black people nominated for these awards.
That's how I felt. Mm-hmm. It just felt crunchy. You know, you watch something, you're like, ah, crunchy. Don't sit right in my spirit. And then, like, all of these black, like, because there, I think there were, like, one or two white dancers in the background doing whatever they was doing.
Yeah.
But most of them were black. So it's like, I feel like the Oscars do this all the time. It's like, there's an Oscar so white year, and then, like, they try to cover it up with presenters and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, they like nominate a bunch of black folks. And then the next year, we go back to Oscar So White. So it's like,
but when they nominate a bunch of black folks, we still don't win like that. Like, we maybe win one or two.
Yep. Like, that's true.
But it's true. Guess.
Nobody's addressing the actual issue
that there are no black people voting, like, for real. Like, even though they've increased the number of black voters, it's still not enough because the committee is overwhelmingly white.
Old and white.
Yeah. Still to this day. So, you know, Oscar So White campaign was great, you know, in idea and, you know, great for the person who started it, who's, you know, going around on campaigns and doing all the things that she wants to do to promote it. But what actual work is being done beyond the conversation?
Right.
Like, it seems that it's been 5 years and just the conversation is the only thing that's been happening because it's like, okay, we're going to have the conversation, but then we're going to use this as a sensational media tactic to you know, to bring people in. Mm-hmm. But we're not really going to change the atmosphere because this topic brings people in. Right. So we might as well just keep using that.
Yeah.
And the person who created it is just leaning into that and just showing up and doing talkbacks and things and not really doing any real work to change. It's like, oh, it's my time. Oscar So White, let me step up to the plate and you know, secure all the deals to make it happen for myself.
Yeah.
But not really for the industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, but the Oscars apparently this year were like the lowest, like it like hit the viewership was real low.
Well, people was mad at me for tweeting about it. Like, people was mad at me for tweeting about it, saying we not watching it and you shouldn't be watching it. Like, I don't know what it is about Broadway Black that people feel like they can just say and talk to like any old kind of way. Like I'm not a person. I think people maybe sometimes don't think that I'm a person, but like people will talk to Broadway Black like I should just be willing and ready to do any and everything that they think I should do. And it's like, I don't have an option not to watch the Oscars.
Yeah.
I really don't have an option to, like, there are black people that are from the theater.
Absolutely.
There are black people that, that, you know, are in all different types of categories. And, and Billy Porter was there. He was on the red carpet. He also performed the opening number. Cynthia performed. Like, I just didn't have a real option, you know. And also my friend Matthew Cherry was nominated for Hair Love. He won the Oscar.
Yes.
Congratulations to him. So yeah, like, I just didn't have an option. And I never really do have an option with the award show unless I'm not working, unless I feel like I don't feel like doing it. And that's usually like for a stint of time for a couple of months where I'm obviously not working,
but
obviously I am working right now. And that's a topic. So, people were just like, why are you watching it? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking like, I don't have a choice, but because I really wanted to go to bed by the time 11 o'clock hit and them awards still wasn't done. I was like, listen now, it's getting a little too much.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Journalism. I mean,
yeah, it is.
I mean, so it's pretty much just a lifestyle. So
I hate it. I do.
You gotta do what you gotta do. Even if you like or support, you still gotta tune in. So
we went to what is it called? The Broadway Sessions.
Yeah,
me and Ramaj went to Broadway Sessions this week. If you saw the video on the recap video I did on Broadway Black's Instagram, you'll see the picture of us and what happened that night, you know, how it all went down. So you can go and check that out on the Broadway Black IG and on the YouTube channel.
Listen, singing.
They were singing.
Singing
down. Dang. Like we had, Ramaz, tell them.
It was beautiful. Like the atmosphere was just loving. Like me, I'm coming from an environment where I'm just surrounded by a whole bunch of white people. So, you know, going through grad school, just graduating, I'm like still trying to find my tribe, trying to, you know, find the black people in the community, connect with them, collaborate. And so thank you for inviting me to that event. And like just being there, you know, it was just so much love, a whole bunch of black people. It was Black History Month. And like it was just all the soulful vibes that I really needed. Good. It was nice.
Yeah, we had a good time, man. And I was pleasantly surprised because I have never been to Broadway Sessions and I feel guilty that I have never been. Because it was so much fun, but also this is their fourth annual Black History Month event. So I've missed three other of these and I'm like, I can't believe it. But I will definitely be going from here on, but I did a video. And the reason why I brought this up is because I did a video after the show. Now the show started at 10:30 at night.
Wow.
You know, like,
I mean, that's commitment because I'm in for
that. Like, and I didn't find out about the event until like 8 o'clock that night. And so I sort of had to like, you know, pull some strings and try to get seats and get tickets and figure out if I was going to be able to make it at 10:30 and still, if I was going to still be up and awake.
Listen.
But I made it and me and Ramaz went, and it started at 10:30. We didn't get out of there till like 1:30.
Ooh.
But it was worth it.
But it was church though.
It was church. And so because it was church, I was so amped up when I got home that I did that video at like 3 o'clock in the morning and I stayed up all night editing it. And put it out the next day.
But and they like, was just spitting out, they were just bringing people on stage one after another. And we were just like, we need a break. Like,
I need a moment. I even like, shouted, like, I need shouting. A moment. I need a moment, like, please. But there was no moment to give us because they had so many great singers and they needed to get in and out. Like, but it still took us 3 hours.
They were amazing. I just watched the video that you put up and I was listening to it in my headphones while I was at work.
And those were just clips.
I know. I was like, I want the full, is there an album? Can I, what, somebody needs
I think Broadway Sessions usually posts the full performances eventually over time.
Oh, wow.
But
okay.
I don't know. And maybe they might choose which ones they'll post, but I know that they end up, because you'll see all the Broadway Sessions videos all the time on YouTube.
Okay.
So they might post the videos from that. But they also are doing, I think, one this week, this Thursday, for Ain't Too Proud. So like the singers from Ain't Too Proud. So that'll be majority, you know, black folk too. Yeah. So it might be all black since, I mean, but I think Ain't Too Proud got a couple of...
Yeah. It's a couple.
What? The way you just did your fingers.
Like, you know, I had a little, you know. It's, you know when your grandma talking about something, I think he a little, you know.
A little sugar
in his thing.
I think there's a couple.
Might be a little sweet. But that's how I refer to white folks. Might be a little, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, so yeah. Check out Broadway Sessions. We had a really good time. And check out the recap video I did. And I'll be doing more of those Broadway Black Talks back. I'm going to do one for... I should talk about this, too. I did Carnegie Hall. Like,
yes.
Last week.
How was that?
Oh, my goodness. It was fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. I still can't believe that it's done. Like, to be a part of a show of that magnitude, like something that Carnegie Hall has never seen. They don't get to see... like staged shows. Like this was almost like this should have been in a theater, like a musical theater. It's like a musical theater piece, but like Titus took Sondheim songs and rearranged them to fit his story, to fit his life and how it inspired him. And so it wasn't just like regular Sondheim. It was like new, brand new arrangements, things that you like songs from Merrily We Roll Along mixed with Sunday in the Park with George, like overlap, like new arrangements of material. Wow. And it just blew my mind. It was some things we were singing. I'm thinking like, well, I need to go listen to this. And I would try to go listen to the song. And it's like, no, boo, that's Titus. That's not there.
It's
because, yeah, like you can go and find the words and the melody maybe, but the way that it's arranged was so beautiful and so spiritual. It was an honor to be a part of the production and an honor to sing the music and to watch Titus be great as he is, like vocally amazing, comedically amazing. It just blew my heart and my mind away. Watching Lilias White sing from Gypsy, watching Jane Krakowski dance. You know, I got to blow some fans in her face and have some fun with her. And also Orfeh sings for the Blood, like, listen, more so than I really have ever given her credit for. Mm-hmm. Like, oh girl, you sing.
Yes.
Like, okay. Yes. So it was just a phenomenal show. Like, I'm going to do a video about it because I still need to just process those thoughts. It's been a week and a half. It'll be 2 weeks this Saturday, but like, I'm still amazed. Like, we, as a cast of people, mostly, you know, majority Black folk, got to sing Sondheim, which we don't normally do.
Right.
And we got to do the electric slide on Carnegie Hall stage, like, while singing Company by Stephen Sondheim. So doing the electric slide to Company,
I love it,
at Carnegie Hall is like top tier peak, like, moments in my life. Like, at this moment, I don't think there is much. Like, because, you know, I'm real particular about experiences. My Black experience, Black musical theater experience, is what I'm, like, all about. And that was the top tier thing that I could have ever done.
Is he going to do it again?
I would like to hope so. There's been some talk, you know, and he even threw a couple of jokes in the show about it, you know, possibly doing a Broadway run. Yeah. Because it really could live and survive. That. It would be phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun. So
nice.
Yeah. Let's keep moving on because we ain't got that much time. Yeah. We talked about the Hot Wing King. Y'all know all about that Valentine's Day event. Come on out. We're going to have a talk back after the show in the theater. Because we were supposed to originally be in the lobby. But now, since, you know, they just saw how I worked and moved things around and made things happen, now we're in the theater.
That's right.
They've allowed us to because when I said I wanted to do a talk back, they said, okay, well, we can't have it in the... But then now we got Ryan Jamal Swain, so now it's in the theater.
Got it.
So now it's in the theater. Thank you, Signature. We also want to talk about Hamilton movie. Y'all saw this blog post from, what's her name, Betsy? Is her name Betsy?
I think so.
Why y'all laugh?
The way you said,
the whitest girl.
What's the name, Betsy?
The whitest girl name. But only a white girl could write this letter. So I'm so happy that she did, because only a white girl could write this letter and get away with it and not be, like, she's being applauded.
Yeah. And this is what I was confused about, because I thought the whole thing of Hamilton was that it wasn't no white people, but I guess there are white people, just not in the principal role.
Well, I mean... Maybe she might be like, maybe if you let her tell it, she might not be white.
Okay.
She might be of something else.
White adjacent.
But also, even if she is white, you know, like, there, you know, Jonathan Groff was in the show. So he was King George.
Yes. So I thought that was like the only white role.
But like, ensemble, like, you know what I'm saying? There's some white dancers that could, you know, that can pop and lock this.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Pop, lock, and drop.
It's true.
And she obviously is one of them. Mm-hmm. And so she got to be good, because she's got Broadway credits for days. Mm-hmm. Like, she ain't no hoe when it comes to dancing 8 times a week.
Listen.
Like, what, Ramon? So she be in there. She been in the shows. Like, this is not nothing new to her. But, like, she broke down the lack of care for the ensemble very well.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are supporting her in that. And so I just wanted, what are your thoughts, Ramon?
I mean, I think it's an interesting topic of, like, being, like, the underdog or being overlooked. And so I think in terms of her saying that, you know, the ensemble, the dancers are always underlooked. In this case, they're saying, you know, they're kind of advertising, like, it's the original Broadway cast and everyone is in it. And it's like, nah, everyone ain't in it. And so I can kind of relate to that perspective, because, like, even as a designer, you know, some of us get our cred or get recognition when we are, like, attached to a show. And sometimes we get the acknowledgement. But I think she has, like, a valid point in terms of, like, you know, being in the forefront.
Yeah. Because, like, the leads. Oh, so basically, she wrote this letter on theensemblist.com. If you go to their blog, you can read the letter about how she's an original member of Hamilton the musical, and that they're promoting this film version of the musical without really all of the original cast, even though they're saying that it is the original cast. But it's the original leading cast and not the original cast itself, because Betsy left the show before they recorded this. Mm. And they did not bring her back, even though they brought back Jonathan Groff. Because he was King George, he was a supporting, leading character in the
right
show. So,
but why wasn't she in it though?
She probably left, she probably left and do another show or do another gig, or, you know, her contract was up.
Because they did it at the Public first and, like, had a run there, and then they went to Broadway. Mm-hmm. So she may have had some, she might have been tired.
Yeah, tired. Like, you know, and dancing on that turntable ain't no hoe.
Listen.
Like, it's hard on the body. So, I mean, I respect her for this letter. I think that what she did was admirable, because only a white woman would be able to do this.
Yeah.
And not necessarily get away with it, but be able to stand in it and, mm-hmm. and walk around this industry knowing that she's put the industry on blast in this way, especially Lin-Manuel Miranda, you know. Yeah.
And then she also started talking about payment as well, in terms of, like, getting paid and how you're supposed to get paid after, like, 6 months of working on a show.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's ludicrous that, you know, their rights are, their privileges are kind of, like, overlooked in terms of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really respected in the industry, and they play a huge part in what is Hamilton or whatever the story may be.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, like, why wouldn't you get paid what you deserve?
Right.
Although you're putting your whole body and your whole, your whole life at risk trying to tell this story.
Yeah. Especially with, like, something that she brought up was the amount of time that it takes, like, that you're actually on stage as an ensemble member, like, it's different for every show. Like, certain shows are, like, 45 minutes. But they're pretty much on stage the entire, 2.5 hours for that show. And so to not get the same kind of, you know, recognition, and especially with the original Broadway cast of that show, I feel like the original Broadway cast of that show, like, made that show what it is, like, mm-hmm. all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so for it to get all of this success and go on, and then for the film to come out and not be, you know, considered in that way when you gave all that you had in the rehearsal process in the original production, it's just kind of like.
So is she salty that she not in the
recording?
No,
she's salty that they are labeling
because
it as,
labeling it wrong.
They're labeling it as the original cast, and it's not the original cast is what she's salty about.
Because, okay.
But she could be salty that she's not in it, too. Like, that could be a thing, but she ain't saying
she's salty about a lot of things.
I mean, and
valid things, valid things, but like how she's talking about, you know, titles. She wrote this whole, like, this article has a it's not misleading, but it kind of focuses on the concept of that they saying that it's the whole original cast and it isn't,
but it's also about the contracts.
And
because we all know when we talk about the original cast, nobody's thinking about the ensemble.
No.
Like,
but is that a bad thing though?
In a way, yes.
Yeah. Because they're all giving their lives on
and
that stage.
And once you change one person out of a show, it changes the dynamic of the show, period. Like, I don't care if it's an ensemble, because I've definitely been to shows where there were ensemble people that stood out so much so that I needed to know who they were afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't tell me if they were removed. I can name an instance. Sharia Irving was in Romeo and Juliet. I did not know who she was. She did not speak really a line at all in that show, for real. But her background scene work was so prevalent for me that after the show, I was like, I need to know who you are. Like, you are resonating from the stage. Like, I can feel, like, you're radiating from the stage. I can feel you, and you're not even saying a word.
Mm-hmm.
Now look at Sharia Irving.
Yeah.
Like, if you know her and know her work, you can understand why I was, like, gravitating towards her, because she was putting in the work.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that that wouldn't have changed my experience of that show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I believe it. But let's move on. We're going to move past all these other hot topics because we got to get on out of here. We're going to get right into I Said What I Said.
Oh, come on.
Lord.
Come on, Ramaz. You got this. We ain't got much time. So we got to, you know, let's move it along. What you got for us? You ready?
All right. I got a good 2 pages for y'all.
Here we go. 2 pages?
What, is that long?
That's long. Come on here.
Oh, for real?
Let's see.
Oh, that's not quite two pages.
Child, you give us a paragraph and come on here.
All right. The other day, I went up on the hill to see my little boy. I took him out for a ride, and as we were moving along the streets, he asked me where all the people was coming from. I said work, going home, going to the store, coming back from the store. Then he went out to watch the river. Then he asked me about the water, the ships, the weeds, everything. That kid threw so many questions at me, I got dizzy. I wanted to hit him once to shut him up. But he was just a little dog boy discovering for the first time that there are things in this world like stones and trees. It got late and dark, so I took him home and watched him fall asleep.
Then I took his mother into my arms and put her into my bed. I just laid there for a while, listening to her call me all kinds of dirty motherfuckers. After she got that out her system, I put my hands on her. And before long, our arms were locked at each other's shoulders. And then my thighs moved slowly down between her thighs. And then we started that sweet rolling until the both of us were screaming as if the last piece of love was dying forever. After that, I just laid there talking soft up into the air. I would tell her she was the loveliest bitch that ever lived. And all of a sudden, she was no longer calling me a dirty motherfucker. She was calling me a sweet motherfucker. It got quiet. I sat on the edge of the bed with my head hanging long and deep, trying to push myself out the room and back into it at one at the same time. She looked up at me, and I got that same question all over again. Will you marry me and be the father of your son? I tried to move away from her, but she dug her fingernails into my shoulder. I struck her once, twice, and again, with this hand. And her face was a bloody mess. And I felt real bad about that. I said, I'll marry you. Yes! Yes, I'll marry you, shit! I put on my clothes, and I walked into the streets trembling with the knowledge that now I have a little boy who I must walk through the park with every Sunday, who one day must blow my head off, an abiding wife who on a given evening may get herself caught in bed of some other man, and I could be sealed in a dungeon until dead. I was found lying in a well of blood on the day I was born. But I have been kind. I have kissed babies for the simple reason they were babies. I'm going to get married to some bitch that gets me to shaking all over. The last time I trembled this way, I killed a man.
Okay. Ooh. This is really deep. That,
you dropped into that.
Right.
That hit the basement.
This is not Sunset, baby. It surely is not Sweat.
That sounds like it's got some age on it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes, it sounded real. I was going to say it sounded real maybe 1980s.
Earlier.
Huh?
Earlier.
Earlier? 70s?
Earlier.
60s?
Mm-hmm. God.
Is this a male or female playwright?
Male.
Okay.
Male. Has this been on the Broadway?
The Off-Broadway.
The Off-Broadway.
Okay.
And it was produced in the 60s.
Negro Ensemble Theater?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, okay.
That is a good... look at you.
It's not a soldier story.
Mm-mm.
It's not a...
Charles
No, it's not Charles Fuller because... Is it Charles Fuller? It can't be Charles Fuller.
He wrote... He had other stuff.
Yeah, but...
Not Charles... Is it Charles Fuller?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I don't think that's in Tozaki.
No, it's a male. It's a male.
Oh,
playwright,
it's a male playwright.
So, God, yeah.
I need a clue. That
I don't think we're gonna get it. What is it, Ramaz?
So it's Ceremonies and Dark Old Men by Lonnie Elder III.
I would have never gotten that. No. Lonnie Elder III. Yes. Ceremonies and Dark Old Men.
Yes, it won a Drama Desk Award. It was the most promising playwright of Out of Critics Circle.
Yeah.
Nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. And first black man or person nominated for Academy Award in writing.
Come on. Ooh, came with the knowledge today.
Yes.
So, I love that. Thank you, Ramaz.
With the Black History on the Black History Month.
I love that.
Come on. Here for it.
Well, man, we thank y'all so much for listening to a brand new episode of Off Book. This is Drew Shade.
York Walker.
Ramaz Jamar.
And we'll be back next week. Well, maybe they won't be back next week, but I'll be back next week to see y'all again in a brand new episode of Off Book. And we thank y'all. This is just a little teaser coming into the new week, to the new season.
I should say, new season of Off Book. And I thank y'all so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Like, for real, we really, really appreciate you. And thank you, Ramaz, for your wonderful monologue.
Oh, thank you.
All right, we'll see y'all next week. Deuces, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode of Off Book is brought to you by The Hot Wing King. Make sure you check it out. It premieres tomorrow, February 11th through March 22nd at the Signature Theater. It's by Katori Hall, so you already know it's going to be a bomb-ass play. Make sure you come down on Valentine's Day this Friday, because we're going to have a special event. It's going to be a hot wing competition. So make sure y'all come down and celebrate and get your tickets now at the Signature Theater website.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.